We're glad to see each and everyone who's come out tonight. We're very glad you've come. There are a lot of things going on in our world right now. I mean, we turn and look at things going on in Memphis. I don't think there are things we need to hide about or not look at or think about. And really throughout the entire country. And there's a lot of disunity. There's a lot of division. In Revelation, the 7th chapter, and I did put it on here. In Revelation, the 7th chapter, I want us to notice something here. As we read this text, it says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb." Notice what they were clothed in. "Clothed with white robes and palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" Here in this picture of what's before the throne of God there in heaven, we have all of these multitude of people. The interesting thing about the gospel, we sing the gospel is for all, don't we? Rightfully so. When we think about our brothers and our sisters in Christ, there are people all over the world who are a part of that body of Christ, that Christ has added to his church. Now, through the years in our country, we have spoken about things like diversity. And we have talked about things like desegregation. We've talked about affirmative action. We've talked about inclusivity, the ideal that everyone is included. And in this country, for the most part, I think that that is the way that it is. People don't like to admit that, and they might say something against that. But a lot of times, we do know that there are problems that come down the pike. But when we think about Christ, and when we think about his church, and when we think about our unity in Christ, we find out that God's plan brings us together rather than tears us apart. Right now, things are going on that are horrible. And we're going to look at some of those pictures here in a moment. But think with me about Jesus' prayer for a moment. In your Bibles, in John 17, in that specific text, Jesus is going to pray for unity. Not just for the people of his day, but for the people of ours as well. In that text, as we read together tonight, the Bible says, "I do not ask for these only." The people who were living during that period of time. It says, "but ask also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one or be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one." What a beautiful passage. But keep reading. It says, "I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me." Let's go back here for a second. When we look at the text here, there are a number of points that we can make, isn't there? When we begin, it says, first of all, he's praying for this unity, praying for us, praying for those people of that time. He's praying for us. This is an important thing. We understand that we are to be one. It shows and serves as a witness to the world who Christ was and who God is. It serves to show who we really serve. When we are unified in the Spirit, in the bond of peace. And that's what we are here. How thankful we should be. But we see that unity serves as a witness to those around us. But also, it's going to show how much God loves us. God loves us so much, he gave his son to die for us. And so this is just another point as we think about our topic tonight. Have you ever considered God's creation? God's creation, there's such a multitude in God's creation of diversity. It's true. We look at a dog. I don't have a dog. Maybe some of you do. My wife has informed me I won't ever get a dog again because it broke her heart when our dog died. So we haven't gotten a new dog. I have a feeling we'll never have cats again either, because they're about to meet their end also. But God's diversity is unique. When we think about the church, let me give you an example. How about Las Cruces, New Mexico? We'll start there. In Las Cruces, New Mexico, there is a college there. And most places around here, we know that there are African-American churches. There are white churches. We know that there are Spanish-speaking churches. And I've said, and I bet you agree, the most divided day in the world is on Sunday. We should be always willing to be together. And I understand if there's different languages. In Las Cruces, the church where I preached on number of occasions, six different times, there are about 600 members. But they have two services. The first service is for English speaking. But did you know they have 250 today? I checked on this, by the way. They have 250 Chinese speaking Christians there. They've come from China. They've learned the truth. They've shared it with their neighbors, all who go to that school. Now they're going to go back to China. And guess what? You have all those Christians there in China. But what I'm trying to point out is, no matter what language under heaven we might know or somebody speaks, we have this unity that's in Christ. Think about the passage of Scripture in Matthew 28, verse 19. We mentioned it this morning, but go into all the world and make disciples. It's all inclusive. No matter where somebody is or who somebody is, we are to make disciples of them. No matter who, color, what have you. There's great unity in that. Think about this in your Bibles, over the book of 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Over here in this text, it says, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, some might say. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be, we would ask. If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? Each one of us is different. I can't lead singing. Rick can. Maybe you can. David does a great job when he reads. It's a beautiful job. Everyone here has a talent. We have people who can teach young children. We have people who can teach older people. We have people who I'll never get a chance to teach that you can through your example and through your teaching. When we think about what God did, though, he made male and female. We have young and old. We have ethnicities. If you look at my eyes, they're blue and my hair is blonde. More than likely, we know genetically and scientifically, my family came from somewhere that's cold. My daughter-in-law's skin is brown. She has dark hair, black eyes. Why? She came from Spain. Beautiful, wonderful young lady who's serving the Lord. And so we have this idea of this diversity. There's nothing wrong with that. It is a wonderful thing. In fact, if you look at Ephesians, the third chapter, verse 10, there when it says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places. It makes sense that God has allowed each and every one to come into his kingdom. And this wonderful diversity, what Galatians 3 teaches us, though, in verse number 28, is that there's no longer Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There is no more male or female, for you are all one in Christ. Folks, we need unity. And the greatest unity in the world, and the only way I know we can possibly ever have unity, true unity, is in Christ. Over the last few years, we've seen pictures like this over and over, haven't we, on television? Disunity. Notice, even though in the flames, you got that American flag showing there. Disunity everywhere. Brother against brother, person against person. It's just a horrendous situation. And as I have already said, and I'll say it again, the only way that I truly know that we can have unity in this world is in Christ, because that's true unity. And so when we look at this passage, notice all, it says, for you are all one in Christ. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, young or old, white, black, green, yellow, we're one. And that is a wonderful thing. And yet, today, going on in Memphis, we have horrible things taking place. Now, we do need to be doing more teaching. I understand that. And the church over there is really striving. I know several brothers who are preaching. And they're really trying very hard to keep unity, to preach unity. But people always don't want to have unity. Did you guys ever sing that old song, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds? I love that song. I love it at the end of services. I even looked in our songbook. Maybe it's in there. I didn't find it. I wish I should have called you. Because I couldn't find it in there. So I had to actually take it from one of my sacred selection songbooks that I have, one of those old ones, and look it up. I want to read the words with you, if you will. Listen to these words. You probably know them because you've sang them. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. But before our Father's throne we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comfort and our cares. Also, notice this, we share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows sympathizing tears. When we are called to part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again. This glorious hope revives our courage, by the way, while each is expectation lives and waits to see the day. For sorrow, toil, and pain, and sin, we shall be free, and perfect love and friendship reign through all eternity. Maybe I'm a simpleton, but I really believe that in Christ there should be this wonderful unity. Ladies and gentlemen, as we think about things as far as what causes disunity, well, the first thing that we can look at tonight is just talk about what causes disunity in the effect that we often hear, have you ever heard of tooth decay? How about truth decay? People no longer following the truth, teaching error. That certainly can cause disunity. So we're going to talk about that here in a moment, but let's go to another point as well. A long time ago, Thomas Campbell made this statement. Now, it's not original with Thomas Campbell, but oftentimes we find disunity among God's people, and what happened here is he made a very clear, pretty good statement, I think. In matters of faith, where does faith come from? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by what? The Word of God. So what does that mean? If there are matters of faith, well, God has told us what to do. Maybe as we spoke this morning about our worship. We're going to remember the Lord on the first day of the week. We're going to offer these prayers. We're going to sing and worship God that way. We're going to give as we've been prospered. So we see that. So in matters of faith, unity, do what the Bible says. In matters of opinion, liberty. We may not choose to support orphans or fatherless like another church does in this area. But we do help potters. We do that. And we do try to do that, but there might be someone who decides another way to do it. But we're still doing it. So in matters of opinion, liberty, you have that choice. In all things, though, what? Charity or love. Charity or love. I'm going to just say this, and I don't know if I'm wrong about this. Again, I might be a simpleton. But when you're telling somebody, hey, Rick, I love you. Stephen. Brother, I love you. It's kind of hard to have disunity when somebody's telling you they love you and they're acting like it, right? That makes sense. So we have this love for one another, and we have the Word of God that sometimes people don't want to follow. Look at this next slide, and actually I have it up there. But it says, we have a world which we live in. It is a humanistic world. We have professors telling us that there's no set standard of truth. And therefore, what you think is one thing, what I think is one thing, and as long as we're sincere or honest, then it's all the same. But the problem is, in God's word, it doesn't say anything like that, does it? So, let's look at this passage in Romans 1, verse 25. Over there, like the ancient pagan world, I've written up here, our society has exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. We understand, ladies and gentlemen, that when we see error out there in the world and we see people who are not following God, of course there's not unity. I am careful when it comes to politics, but you know as well as I do that it's nearly impossible now for somebody to agree to anything in Congress or in the Senate. It's just almost impossible. We see disunity all the time, and things keep being said or done that just doesn't make sense. One of those things is, let me say this. Who supports the police here? Every one of you, I hope, would raise your hand and say, I support the blue line, right? Who supports everyone who is hurt by a police officer who did the wrong thing? Everyone, again, would raise our hands and say, we think that's wrong. Now, I'm going to say, I've seen some pretty bad things, and I saw the videos of what happened to this young man, and it makes me wonder, why did they get by with something like that? And then we can go into all the other issues that no one wants to talk about. I've heard some crazy statements that I'm just not going to say from the pulpit, all right? I've heard some crazy statements about it. When we go to the Word of God in John 17, we read there, sanctify them in thy truth. Your word is truth. If we're following God's word, we're striving for unity. We're loving our neighbors as ourselves. Can you imagine what the world would really be like? My wife said, when I read this to her, she said, you've always been that guy who dreams of that. Maybe. But ladies and gentlemen, even though we may not have perfect unity here, there's coming a day, isn't there, when we'll be in heaven together. How can we say we want to go to heaven and we hate that person's guts who's going to be there with us? We can't. Doesn't make sense. Just doesn't make sense. In your Bibles, go back to Revelation now with me, chapter 7 again. I'm going to share with you some words from someone you guys probably know by the name of David Lipscomb here in a minute. Here's what this verse says again. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number of all nations. That include every nation in the world? All nations? It sure does. Tribes? Every tribe? Color? Ethnicity? Yeah. Peoples? Tongues? All the different languages? It sure sounds like it to me. Standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in what color? White. What does that represent whenever you see it? That's right. Purity. It also represents something else in heaven, doesn't it? It represents you and me who are there clothed in white raiment. We are pure because of the blood of Christ. And so we see that. The text goes on to say, with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice. Remember that whole Palm Sunday thing we talk about sometimes? Those palm branches they were laying down in front of Jesus and how they were telling him to be the king, and later on they're yelling that he would be crucified. It's a horrible scene, but not in heaven. Here we see this, and it says, crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. This is a powerful passage of Scripture. David Lipscomb talked about the unity that could only be found in Christ when he said, unity comes from God, and it must flow through us. When I read things from Brothers Bowles, H. Leo Bowles made the comment that a unified church is a church that is a serving church that serves the Lord. I remember my grandfather's sermon years ago, and I've never preached it, but I got a copy of it, and he wrote it out on a little card. But on it, I remember one thing he said. If I'm white, that doesn't always mean I'm right. And this was back when there were some problems among whites and blacks in my hometown. They had us go and hide in closets and in different places in case there was race riots. That's how I grew up. Some of you know about this kind of stuff. But the bottom line is, when he was preaching and when we're preaching about this unity. Several years ago, there was a young Hispanic couple who obeyed the gospel. She was baptized first. Her husband got baptized later. Their kids hardly spoke any English. They were baptized shortly after. Now, it helped their lives. But one of the things I remember that guy saying in broken up English, and my Spanish is horrible, is how he felt only when he was at church that he was accepted. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, my dear friends and brethren, as we are going to conclude our lesson tonight, keep in mind that all of the unity in the world that man tries to throw out there, they try to force it on us. They try to make us do something. They try to have all of this diversity. It doesn't work. People get mad about it. There's division over it. But when we are unified in Christ, it works perfectly. Again, I may be a simpleton and I may be a dreamer. But when God says it, I believe it. And we can be one in the Lord. Our nation needs prayers now. I'm going to take time and we're going to have a prayer together for everything going on right here in our state. Bow your head with me tonight. Our great God and Father, we're so thankful that we can come before you tonight and call you our Father. We know that there are many difficulties taking place around us, taking place in all the cities that are having so many problems. We know, Father, that oftentimes people come into those cities and they cause trouble. We pray that you help the people who live in those cities, that you will keep them safe from harm. We pray for police officers who are on the street trying to do their job. We pray, Father, for those who are in leaderships of those towns, that you will bless their efforts. We pray that you will bring peace to our country. But most importantly, Father, we pray that peace will always reign in your church. We pray that you'll strengthen us, strive as we share the gospel with people so that they can come into the family of God, and help us, Father, to truly be what you want us to be. Not complainers, not criticizers of other peoples, but lovers of our neighbor. Father, we know if we truly love you, we've got to love ourselves and we've got to love our neighbor. Be with us now as we go through this evening and as we now offer this invitation. Please help each of us in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here tonight and you've never yet been obedient to the gospel of Christ, we want to encourage you to do that. To maybe be baptized if you need to be. If you're here as a child of God and perhaps you've gone the wrong way and you just haven't been the example you should be, we want to encourage you as well to certainly come tonight, and we'll be willing and ready to pray with you and for you. And if we can encourage you in any way spiritually, won't you come? As together we stand and sing with Rick this invitation song.